couple of thank yous and just acknowledge a couple of people. First of all, I want to thank Akash Baruch Hu for bringing me here, and I'll tell you why I am very thankful for that in a second. But I want to thank also, my wife is 9 months pregnant at the moment. I know, right? Like, what are you doing here? So that is why I'm starting every show that I give everywhere around this country, saying thank you to my wife, who's 9 months pregnant, and you're going, allowing me to come here, my mother-in-law, who's watching, who's there with her. I want to thank also Rachel Lobi for picking me up and taking care of me, bringing me here, getting me here. I've been literally like all over the country. It's been nuts. I want to thank my sister-in-law Yali who's here. I'll go around. I'll thank everybody. I want to thank Omri and all the Shadow Pfeiffer for getting me cough drops. And Adam Pfeiffer for buying me a Diet Coke. Anybody else wants to buy me something? I'll thank you also. But really, and most importantly, I want to thank everybody here. And why do I want to thank you? I want to thank you because I got here Sunday morning at 4:30 in the morning, and since then I've been here. I've been in Florida. I've been in. I came back to New York. Well, I guess New Jersey fresh. This morning I had a 6 o'clock in the morning flight to Cleveland, and then I just got here literally straight from the airport. This is the beginning of my trip, by the way, from the airport, and it's fun. It's nice. I'm recruiting. We're doing our shadlos for next year, but for me, really, tonight is the most important part of my trip. It's the most important part of my trip because to be here with you guys who are or girls, ladies, who we got to grow together in Ruchnius, in Yerushalayim, or Kodesh, and to come back here, I know it's either during finals, some people are legally missing a meeting tonight, I am not promoting that, if that's your decision, I support it. So, but you guys are here, and this is what it's all about. That the fact that it's not about like, oh, you have to come to class or, you know, there's a mandatory speech. It's that you guys want to grow, you want to reconnect. And that's what I want to do tonight. I want to reconnect back to Shalayim, back to MMY, back to, again, if you didn't go to MMY, whatever that place of connection is for you, that you're going back there. And really just thank you to you guys for giving us the nachas that you give us by being here tonight, continuing to grow, continuing to be people. Everywhere I go to recruit, I always end off. I guess I feel like my pitch. The pitch is at the end is that I say that the biggest nachas, what defines, what makes, I'm installing, see if you get here. What makes an MMY girl, I said that everywhere I go, people are asking me, can we meet? Can we talk about, I have a challenge in this. How do I grow here? How do I do this? And that really says a lot about you guys and a lot about MMY, and thank you for that. So today, I know I only have a little bit of time because with Judah speaking, I don't know who arranged that one, but it's me and Judah are speaking at the same time. We actually were supposed to speak at the same time. Baruch Hashem, we realized that mistake and we changed that. But I want to speak about, the title is Nowhere But Here. Yeah, I know it's the YU phrase, but we're going to discuss that, Nowhere But Here. And I'm going to start off with an idea that I said, and if you were, I think if I know, also, we've said this Torah before, and I'm sorry, but we're going to start with it because it's this week's Parsha. This week's Parsha, we see an unbelievable idea. We see this concept of Yaakov Avinu. I really feel like I'm Yaakov Avinu this week because he like, came left there as Yisrael, and he's literally he's going to like love, I'm not going to love on him, not facing off Esau, but like coming to Chutzaretz, and it says, Ve'yitzi Yaakov Beersheba Ve'ilech Harana. The Yaakov left Beersheba. And he went to this place called Haran. And we're told about this famous encounter that Yaakov Avinu has. That he approaches that place. And he falls asleep. He takes the rocks, the famous story, 12 rocks, turn it to one. He falls asleep. And what happens? And he has a dream, the famous dream. And what's his dream? That there's this ladder that's grounded in the earth. And it's reaching to the heavens. Unbelievable imagery of Malachim going up and down. The Malachim of Eretz Yisrael are leaving. The Malachim of Chutz Arts are coming down to escort him to leave Eretz Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is standing there. And it's there that Yaakov comes in contact with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, I am the I'm the God of your father, Abram and Yitzchak. And an unbelievable thing happens. And he tells him, don't worry, your children are going to be okay. They're going to go spread out in the entire land. And he goes to Pasuk Tazvah, V'hine Anochi Imach, I'm going to be with you, V'shmarticha V'chol Shatelech, I'll be with you wherever you go. V'ashivosa Al Adama Azos, I'll bring you back to the land. I'll bring you back to Yerushalayim. I'll bring you back to Eretz Yisrael. I'll never forget about you. Now listen to this, Pasuk Tazai. V'yikatz Yaakov Mishnoso. Yaakov wakes up from his sleep. Yaakov was sleeping, and the Pasuk tells us he wakes up. It says, wow, wow, dude, God is in this place. He said, I didn't know God was in this place. Wow, look how great this place is. And Yaakov goes out explaining how great this place is. And then a very strange thing happens. Pasuk Yirchat. If you look at Pasuk Yirchat, Vayashkev Yaakov Baboker. What does that mean, guys? Yaakov woke up in the morning. What's the question? He already woke up. Tup's looking later by Yikat Yaakov. He woke up already. So what happened? He fell back asleep. I understand, he just, think about this. You went to sleep, God comes, speaks to you. Are you going back to sleep after that? You're not going back to sleep after that. Yaakov, it says that Yaakov didn't sleep for 14 years in Yeshiva Shev Eber. He happened to fall asleep this night. What, now he sees God? Like he, what don't you do? Go open up a Mesias Yisharim, you know, maybe like the little Rabbi Nachman, maybe put out some good music, jump up and down. Like he just saw God. It says, Vayashkem, Yaakov awoke, he woke up again in the morning. So what happened? What happened? So I believe that, let's learn the Pasuk, the Pesukim in a different way. Because we have to learn it in a different way in order to understand the sequence that's going on in the Pesukim. Now, what's going on? What does it mean that Vayetze Yaakov Beersheva Vayelech Harana? That Yaakov left Beersheva. He left Eretz Yisrael, he went to Harana. What's Harana? So the Baal Shem and others explain that what does Harana mean? Harana doesn't just mean a place. It means that he left Beersheva and he went to a certain mindset. Harana refers to Haron Af. Anger. Disappointment. The Yaakov Avinu, picture this. Yaakov Avinu was in Eretz Yisrael. He's in the highest levels. He was learning by Yeshiva Shem Ve'Eber. He got the brachos from Yitzchak. And now he has to leave. Can you imagine how he's feeling? Imagine how he feels. It's kind of like when you're that last day of Shara'ah, that last day of Shara'bet. That last moment of like, I reached this like pinnacle, now like you're making me leave. And he was filled with charon af. He was filled with anger. Because Baruch, why are you doing this to me? Why are you bringing me here? This is where you're sending me? And he was filled with anger, says the Baal Shem. And what happens? Yaakov Avinu has his dream. What's his dream? The Torah tells us about this dream. It's not stam that the Torah tells us about the dream. It's talking to us. It's telling us something. What's it telling us? It's telling us the greatest message in life. Torah is telling, Hashem is telling Yaakov, you're angry? Why are you angry? He shows him a ladder. He shows him a ladder that's grounded in the Aretz, and it's going up to Shemayim. And on this ladder, there's Malachim, Olim, V'yordim bo. His Malachim are going up and down. And it says that Kadosh Baruch Hu was found by that ladder. And what happens is that Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving a sichas mussar to Yaakov Avinu. Telling Yaakov, you think that you're going to find me? You think that the only place you're going to find me is in Eretz Yisrael? You think the only place you're going to find me is where everything is easy and good? You know where you're going to find me, Yaakov Avinu? You're going to find me in the ladder that's connecting Shemai Varetz. You're going to find me in that place where you're involved in the world when it's not easy. In the place of love on, the place of challenge, the place of where you're going to go and you're going to work. And you're not going to be in Eretz Yisrael, you're not going to be surrounded by people who are holy and people who are striving to become close to me. And it's going to be hard. But Hashem says, Yaakov, that's where you're going to find me. It's that place of the ladder, when you go up that ladder, when you climb up, when it starts in the Aretz and you go up from the Aretz to the Shemayim, that's where you're going to find me. And when Yaakov Avinu has that dream, you know what happens at that moment? And the Pasuk tells us Vayitzak Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnoso. Yaakov woke up from his slumber. What does that mean? He woke up from his slumber? It means he woke up from the illusion that he created in his life. That he thought leaving was bad. That he thought the challenges are bad. But he woke up from that illusion of like, no. He realized, wow, I'm going to find God in that place. I'm going to become Yaakov Avinu. I'm going to become Yisrael in that place. Not Eretz Yisrael, but Dafka by Lava, Dafka by fighting the Sarshal Esav. And once Yaakov, what it means is Yaakov didn't actually wake up from his sleep. Within his sleep, in that dream, he woke up. And then once he realized it, he says, wow, ma'am no raham akom hazeh. Once Yaakov could say, wow, look how amazing this place is. Look how amazing the place of the ladder is. That's in Aretz. It goes to Shemayim. Then it says, Vayashkim Yaakov Baboker. Then Yaakov really woke up from his dream. The first week up is telling us what happens in the dream. I think this is such a fundamental yisod. For all of us sitting in this room, all of us sitting in this room are in different stages, even though you're all post-seminary. We're all different stages. Some of us are just starting, some of us in the middle, some of us are finished. But all of us, the common denominator is we're all in stages of life of where you have left Eretz Yisrael. So you're in a place where you can very easily be filled with charon af. You can be filled with anger. Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's so hard for me to be motivated. Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's so hard for me to be inspired. It's so hard for me to overcome the challenges. This doesn't go well. That's not going well. Even when it's going well, but Hashem, I really wish I was back there. However, that's the mistake that Yaakov Avinu made. That's not the mistake that we should be making. That what Yaakov Avinu is teaching us is that wherever you are in life, whatever stage, whatever challenge, whatever struggle, it's dafka there that you will find Hashem. If you want to find it. If you want to see it. If you're willing to let go and say, Hashem, I know you're here. Right? The famous Kotzker, what does the Kotzker say? Where is it? Where is the Kadosh Baruch Hu found? Wherever we let him in. Wherever you let him in. Sometimes you don't want to let Hashem in. Instead we yell at Hashem, but if you realize Hashem, he's putting me here, exactly right here, right now, because there's something I need to accomplish. Then you're not filled with charon af. Maybe hard, it's not going to be easy. You can be filled with simcha. You can feel close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, even when it's hard. And that's a concept that we find by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is chosen as the leader of Klal Yisrael. Again, the person who represents all of Klal Yisrael is Moshe Rabbeinu. And we see a very interesting encounter with Moshe Rabbeinu. If you look at source number 2, in the second pasuk, Vayomer al tikrav halom, my first Moshe says, don't come any closer. Shal malecha na'al raglecha, remove your shoes from your feet. Why? Ki makom asher ata omer alav ad mas kodeshu. Because the land that you're standing on now is holy. And everybody goes off on this. Everybody says, this is like the biggest Musar Shemuz. Everything we've just been talking about. This concept of the land that you're standing on. That the message that Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe. Again, he's going back to Klal Yisrael, who's being persecuted in Mitzrayim for 210 years. And the message he's giving the leader of Klal Yisrael is, Admas Kodeshu, Makom Asher Omed Sham, that place right there where you are, exactly that place, is Kodesh, it's holy, it's growth. If you see it and you want it, it's not just like a Chassidish word. This is the Chafetz Chaim says the same thing. The Chafetz Chaim says beautiful words. I'm going to read them to you. These are unbelievable words. You guys know me. This is like I think all these makoros. You have to laminate it, put it up on your wall. You can decorate it, you can color it. I even put like MMY. It's nice. You can put like little smiley faces, whatever you want. Whatever like you connect to. You can put it on the sheet, laminate it, hang it up on your wall. You wake up in the morning, ah, Rav Dani Sher. You know what I'm saying? It's a good. Who doesn't want to wake up to that? So now, source number 3, the Chafetz Chaim. Is it hot in here? Yeah, it is. Can we open the windows, maybe?
Yeah.
And I get yelled at, and I don't know why, because I turned the air conditioning on so low. And by the way, I have an office this year. I should fill you guys in. I have an office this year. And they forgot to give me an air conditioner in the office. And so it was so hot in there, but I missed, like, 2 weeks ago they put air conditioning. Obviously, in the winter time, they finally got me an air conditioner. And I sit there with, like, it's at 14 degrees. Like, 14, like, girls can... I have kaburas in my office. Like, their girls are like, they're shivering, like their teeth are chattering when they're in my office. It's that's just the way I live. You can't live. I'm probably gonna catch pneumonia at some point this year, but it's worth it. You can't be hot. You can't be hot inside. You have to be on fire. Okay, here we go. This is the Chofetz Chaim. Yeah, based on this pasuk of Ki Hamakom Asher Ata Omed Alav Armas Kodeshu, that the land you're standing on, Moshe, it's holy, it's kadosh. Ki Kasher is bornein. Now, when you look at the world, Nira Shekachi Darko She Yitzara. You want to know how the Yitzara works? Says the Chofetz Chaim. Shemachnis Ba'Adam Kol Mine Machshavos Eich Limnoa Mimenu La'Asik B'Torah Vos Hashem. The Yitzara is so good, so good. At finding ways to us, don't serve God right now. Don't learn Torah right now. Don't grow right now. He tells us why you can't do it. Always. B'tainus shav ki l'fim atzavu b'komo kasha l'bo l'avon as Hashem. He already tells you, whips spurs in here. He said, it's too hard to serve God right now. It's too hard. You have midterms. It's too hard. Dating's not going well. It's too hard. Whatever else is going on in your life, it's not going well. That's what the Yitzhar is whispering in your ear. And he tells you, if you change something in your life, it'll become better. If you go back to Eretz Yisrael, to Shalayim, or if you change something else in your life, it's going to be good. That's not true. So if you go to that place, nothing would bother you, everything would be perfect. That's not true, says the Chofetz Chaim. Why? El tzarech la'amina ve'amuna shlema. A person has to believe with the amuna shlema. Shekol echon misol mesuga la'avos Hashem v'chol makom v'chol zman. A Jew has to believe that I could serve God not only in the Ila and not only Shara Aleph but Shara Bet. Says the Chofetz Chaim, every second and every moment of my life is an opportunity to get close to the Ribono Shel Olam. That God's found everywhere. He's found, even believe it or not, 35th and Lexington. Okay. What? Yeah. Found the 35th and Lexington. Right? Is that the address here? 34th Lexington? Yeah? Whatever it is on Lexington. God is found everywhere on Lexington. Okay? He's that's what the Chofetz Chaim is telling us. He's found every place in every situation. Just like the Malachim, what they do when they praise God every single day, and what we do every day when we're in a minyan, when we say Kedusha, Kadosh, 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 Hashem. You are Kadosh Baruch Hu, you are holy. You're always holy. Where? Melo Kol Haaretz Kvodo. The whole world is filled with their glory. You are found everywhere. There's no such thing as God doesn't exist here. The Chofetz Chaim says that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu was telling. That's what Shmuel is telling Moshe Rabbeinu. Everywhere's Kadosh. Everywhere's holy. Admas Kodesh Hu. And that's also the message of the Avos were teaching us. Not just Moshe Rabbeinu, but the Avos. The Avos were involved in a very interesting profession. They like to dig, right? They like to dig wells, right? It's strange. What are they digging wells for? It says, this is Masemes, in source number 4. Then it says, he heard from the Kedush Yarim, his grandfather. He gave inib haba'aro shechaf rabaseinu, that this whole, this business of digging the wells that our fathers do, lahasar chitzonas and tzora araganuza, that what they were doing is they were removing the dirt, they were removing the klipa, the shell that was between, so to say, asa karsh baruch, they're removing it to show us that if you dig down and you look, you'll find water, you'll find Kedusha, you'll find holiness. Shebechom makum yesh nekuda penimi, they tell us, if you look deep down inside, everywhere, everything, you'll find Kedusha. It's the same concept. There's no such thing as there's a situation where God is not present. That was the whole purpose of the Amos. That's what they were doing. And he says in source number 5, highlighting the same idea, that he says that in the world, in the upper world, everything is revealed and God is seen. It's very easy to see God. But in this world, it's a world of concealment. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this world. You can't change that. This is a world of concealment. It's a world that God is not found easily or clearly. And therefore, that was the purpose of the well. The well is telling us that this world is a world we have to dig. On the surface, you're not going to see it. On the surface, you'll complain, you're going to kvetch, you're going to say, this is not on Maskodesh. That was the purpose of the Avos. It says this really at Pinchas in source 6. That this is, now we can understand that what are the names of Hashem? What are the names of Hashem which we see at the Seder? What are the names of Hashem which we find at Kedas Yitzchak? It's a name that we use when you go to be Menachem Avol someone. You know, there's different names of Hashem. You have to always ask yourself, why am I using this name of Hashem? It's a name of Hashem called Makom. HaMakom Menachem Etchem B'Sof Shabbat Yerushalayim, right? That's what we say Teravel. After Pesach Seder, we say Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. What's that name of Makom? It says it's really a Pinchas, unbelievable idea. Makom is defining this characteristic of God, His place. His place is everywhere. He is the place. He is Makom. Right? Makom is the place. Whatever Makom you're in, God is there. It's specifically in the time of mourning where you say, where is God? Right? It's that moment of darkness. It's that moment of like, God's not here. And what do we say to the mourners? HaMakom, this place right here, Dafka, this place of darkness. From there you will have Nechama. Because God's everywhere. If you're willing to find it. And that was the beauty of the Avos. The beauty of the Avos that we know that the Torah tells us about Avram Zakin Baba Yamin in source number 7. Vashem Berechas Avram Makom. That Avram came with his days and God blessed him with everything. What does it mean Avram Binu comes with his days? So the Pasha Pshat is he came in old age. He came in old age. The Nesiva Shalom says, and not just the Nesiva Shalom, really, it's brought down in a lot of the Svarim. If you look at source 8, we're going to read a little bit of source 8, not the whole thing. Don't worry, don't get so scared. That was easy on you guys. What did I do? 19 Makoros. Okay? I got yelled at this past week, they're like, such a short Maror Makom machine, there's only 32 Makoros. I was like, like, what do you want? Like, and they're normally like around 40, I think, these days. It just keeps on getting bigger and bigger. So, Rabbi Katz is going to catch on to the fact that my Makoros are like 8 pages long every single share. And then like our like copying bill is going up. Like, why is it $100,000 in copies? Sorry. So in source number 8, the Avram Zakin Baba Yamin, the Nesiva Shalom explains, what does it mean that Avram comes with his days? So in the second sentence, the Isa Besvar Makadoshim, Avodah Sisal explains. Listen to this, guys. This is the most beautiful words you're going to hear. Ki kol Yehudi Yeshlo Chilek Betorah Melidavsa. Every person, I'm talking to every single person in this room right now, every single person was put in this world with a Chilek of Torah. You were born and you were put in this world for a purpose. Uvechol yom v'yom, listen to this, every single day, me'ir lo nitzos me'oso chelek ha-Torah shayach lo, every day, your Torah, whatever your Torah is, it doesn't necessarily mean opening up a Chumash and a Gemara and a Mishabura. That's how it means. Every day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending you down an opportunity. What Torah is bringing God into this world, to bring God into this world. Every day, there's a new mission. A mission that you didn't have yesterday. It's a mission that you're not going to have tomorrow. It's a mission that's special and unique to right now. And every day, a spark of that Torah comes into this world for you to catch, for you to collect. That Hashem's saying, what are you going to fix today? Every day is a new mission. It's a new goal. What you were meant to do yesterday is not what you're meant to do today. What you're meant to do today is not what you're meant to do tomorrow. And I think that this is a crucial message. You see what Shalom is telling us. That Avraham Avinu was Baba Yomi. What does it mean Baba Yomi? He came with his days. What does that mean? It means that Avraham Avinu was a person who realized that every day had meaning and every day I have something to accomplish. And he's Baba Yomi. There wasn't a day where he didn't bring God into this world. There were moments in Avraham Avinu's life where he couldn't do anything. The day that he had his meal, he couldn't do anything. I guarantee he was bedridden. But he still did something. That's what the Pasuk is telling us. Even on a day like that. Because there's always an opportunity. Always. Even when you're studying for midterms. Even when you're in the middle of 50,000 things in your life. Even when you're sitting in times of unclarity and uncertainty and just feeling down in the dumps, to realize that those moments, there's something that you can gain. And there's something you have to gain. And there's something you have to learn from every single moment. There's also things as a wasted moment. Everybody knows Moda Ani, those of you in my class, Moda Ani. We'll save it for the end. We'll save it for the end. Okay, we'll save it for the end. To remind you, I should have brought Moda Ani in the bag. This is a great one. People are, I hand out Moda Ani, like a piece of Moda Ani, the translation, a piece of paper, and I have people also color it and make it theirs. And that they actually wake up to every morning. So people are telling me, I think they hung it on the walls now, like on their ceilings. So when they wake up, like the first thing they see is Moda Ani. So I should have brought more of those. You guys could have been creative about that. And that is this concept that every day is supposed to be a day of Admas Kodesh. Every day is supposed to be a day of what am I put in this world to do? What am I meant to do today to bring Hashem into this world? And how do we do this? Let's get a little more practical. How do I do this? How do I see Hashem? How do I let Hashem in? And I think that it starts with source number 9, Sfas Emes. We do a lot of Sfas Emes today. Sfas Emes says an unbelievable thing. The first test that Avraham Avinu has, what's the first test that Avraham Avinu has? Lech lecha me'atzav ezavicha. Sfas Emes says, what does it mean, lech lecha, go for yourself? What does that mean? Remember what Rashi says? V'tov lascha v'anosecha. You should go for yourself. Enjoy. Sfas Emes says the following thing. Rashi says, lech lehenascha v'tov lascha, go for to enjoy. Sorry, I just like mumbled everything. But basically what he's saying is, forget about the macros, let's talk outside. What's he saying? He's saying, Avraham Avinu, you would think that, why is he doing lechon mats? Why is he doing that? So, it's to get away from this physical world. Let's get away from the physical world. Says the Sfas Emes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's telling him, no! You want to know how you will serve me? Lech lecha, go for yourself, go enjoy. Go into the world, go into the Olam Hazeh. I want you to Olam Hazeh, have enough malachim. Go to Olam Hazeh and be part of this world. And elevate this world. And I think this is a fundamental yusod that we must ingrain in ourselves. Specifically now, in this stage of our lives. Abkhavra, we are meant to be part of this world. We're not meant to run away from this world. We're supposed to enjoy this world. But the way Hashem wants us to enjoy this world. He wants us to eat. He wants us to sleep. He wants us to learn. He wants us to grow. So don't sleep and eat all day and say, oh, that's what God wants me to do. He wants us to do everything properly. A lot of us try to run away from this world. I think the first yisod, in order to say Admas Kodesh, is to say, no, this is the world I'm supposed to be in. This is the world I'm supposed to be a part of. But in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to use it. That I use it properly. And how do you do that? So I brought a letter from Rav Pinkus. Rav Pinkus says in source number 10, unbelievable letter. This is written at 4:30 in the morning. Erev Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Naso. Ze'achshav nizgali hirgash kodesh ki yishati b'sa merzit. I had this feeling as I was sitting in the base medrash. Lamati b'kvar nit'achir hazman. That I was learning. It was late at night, 4:30 in the morning. It was getting late. Ve'avati acheshek. And I started to lose my desire to learn. Ve'ayiti b'supak im lahafzik olo. I was debating with myself. Should I stop learning? Should I continue learning? Ve'olam b'machshavti. I started making all these cheshbonos. Maybe I should stay up. Maybe I should go to sleep. And then I started saying the following thing. I started saying, I'm tired. Let me just go to sleep. I'm not going to learn anymore because I don't have a koach to do that. But then I said to myself, I started saying, I won't learn Gemara. I'll learn some Musar. I'll learn some Achshava, lighter stuff. Right? Lighter stuff. I'm tired. He said, I didn't have strength for that even. He said, he was going back and forth. What should I do? Is this my Yitzhara? Not my Yitzhara. It's 4:30 in the morning. He had a Mashkiach. He probably would have yelled at him and said, like, what are you doing? Go to sleep. But he didn't. And he wasn't sure what to do. And then go to the second paragraph. I said, all of a sudden I had an epiphany. All of a sudden a thought came to my mind. What was the thought? The Pinkus asked, what do all these Cheshvaros learn, not learn? What should I do? What's good for me? What's not good for me? And the Pinkus said, I just realized something. I never thought and asked myself, what does a Kodesh Baruch Hu want? What does Hashem want? It never came into my thought of what does God want right now. Now listen to what he says. Shekos sfekos hayu ela ba'atzmi bertzoni v'chati daiti. I was making all my decisions based on like what I want, what I was feeling, what I thought was good. And I never thought for a minute of a lo also b'machshavti lasis b'shuv shekos baruch hu rotz hakein. I never thought to myself, I'm going to do this because God wants me to do this. And listen to this Charifos that he says in the next paragraph. He talks about the Mashkiach of the Amir. That's Shigar, the third paragraph, second line. Shigar al Ezo Bukhari Vashayim Mizmarim, Anna Adu Kushabrihu. That he would yell at his Talmidim. That his Talmidim would sing, Anna, Anna, Anna. Right? I am the servant of Hashem, Anna Adu Kushabrihu. I'm the servant of the Moshe. That they would sing it and dance it. And he'd go and say, no, you're not. It's Khalif, you know, it's like older gay Muslim. Like, no, you're not. You're a servant of yourself. Because a servant, you know what a servant is? You don't need to be a servant. A servant never says, what do I want to do? A servant never has the ability to say, what do I want to do? A servant says, what does my master want me to do right now? They're always looking towards the master. What do you want me to do? What is my job right now? And says, Rapinkus, that he realized at that moment that whenever he said, Ana Hashem Keni Avdecha, save me Hashem because I am your Eved. Whenever he said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, when he was Mekabel Olam HaShemayim and himself, he realized at that moment, he never really was Mekabel Olam HaShemayim. He said the words, he covered his eyes, he shuckled a lot, and he danced and he jumped up and down. But he never actually made himself an Eved. Never ever ask himself, what does Hashem want? And I think as we ask ourselves, how do I make everything in my life Admas Kodesh? It's first of all, again, realizing that I'm meant to be in this world. In this physical world. But it's also then asking ourselves, what does Hashem want from me right now? To try to think about why would Hashem put me in this situation? Instead of trying to avoid this situation, what does Hashem want from me right now? And this is true with everything. Again, guys, we're so lucky. We're so lucky. Why are we so lucky? Well, there's a lot of reasons why we're lucky. We're lucky because we have a system of Judaism that really helps us have control of our whole lives. In every aspect of our lives. When you eat, when you sleep, when you go to the bathroom, when you're in a business deal, everything. Halakha dictates every single part of our lives. Think about it, every time you eat, make a bracha. Every time you go to the bathroom, make a bracha. There's a whole chelek of Shulchan Aruch called Koshen Mishpat that deals with business. There's a whole section of Koshen Mishpat called of Shulchan Aruch called Aruch Chaim that tells us how to live our daily life, how to daven, how to make brachas, everything. If we just ask ourselves, what does Hashem want? How does Hashem want me to do this? Again, sometimes the answer is not clear. I'm not saying this is easy. But if you don't have the perspective of what does Hashem want, then you may be missing out on the fact that Hashem is asking me to do something else. And what you may end up saying is, this is not out of Bas Kodesh, because it's not from Hashem. Subconsciously, not if I tell you, is this from Hashem? Yeah, of course. But you don't actually believe that deep down inside. I think this is very, very, very important for our life to succeed in our lives. And how do we do that? Again, first step is realizing that we're meant to be in this world. Second thing is asking, what does Hashem want us doing? And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sfas Emes tells us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a gift. I'm going to give you a couple of etzas right now, okay? Things that we should, I think that we should be trying to focus on at this stage of our lives to help us have this awareness. The first thing is, in Source 11, I'm not going to say inside, Shabbos. Shabbos, specifically in the stage, I remember when I was in college, my greatest Shabbos in my life. Greatest Shabbos was when I was in YU. I remember the whole week you're so busy. You're so easily distracted. The whole week it's very hard to maybe think about Hashem. And Hashem gave us a gift one day of the week. One day of the week. Okay, maybe the midterms time you can't really relate to this. Okay, no studying, no phones. It's a day that everything stops. Why? To remember that there's a Borei Olam. To remember that there's a creator of this world who's running this world, who's part of my life, and is a partner with me, and wants me to be a partner with him. And it realigns us. It reminds us who's in control. It reminds us who's the Eved, and it reminds us who's the Master. And when you keep Shabbos properly, I think it changes your whole week. If you live Shabbos with this concept of everything is Adonai Kodesh, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running this world, so when you go back into the week, you look at it completely differently. I think that's the first thing that we need to do when it comes to this idea of being able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything. What's another thing that we need to do? Second. We need to learn how to overcome failure. Because what happens is, when things get hard, it's easy when things are good and you're doing mitzvahs and you're flying high, it's easy to see Hashem. Yitzhar, it already gets you. It's usually when it's dark outside, it's freezing outside. I know you don't feel in this room, but it's freezing. I was in Cleveland, it's freezing. And when things become like not so great in your life, and when you struggle and like you make mistakes, so then you start to say like, it's over. There's no more Admas. I'm not Kodesh, so there's no more Admas Kodesh. Kevin, that's the biggest mistake that you will ever make in your life. Because the Sfas Emes tells an unbelievable, unbelievable idea by the Bracha of Yehuda. The Bracha of Yehuda says the following thing in Source 13. It says that he's crouching like a lion. That's the bracha that Yehuda is given. He's a crouching lion. Why is he given that bracha, a crouching lion? Listen to what he says. Amar Mori, Rabbi, says the Chiddush Arim, Gikocho she Yehuda afilu b'shash shiflos. That says, you want to know what the koach of Yehuda is? That even at moments of when he's feeling down, even at moments where he's knocked down, shafel is low, that even when he's at moments of where he's crouching, where he's low, where he's defeated, where he doesn't feel kadosh, he's crouching like a lion. He's crouching with strength. That Yehuda, his bracha to Yehuda is that even when he's low, he's going to get up. Even when he's low, he's going to have strength. He's ready to fight back. That's a bracha that's given to Yehuda. And we see this by Yehuda himself. That Yehuda messes up with Tamar. Remember the story? And he admits his mistake, and even at his low point, he's able to stand up, and he's able to say, I made a mistake, and he's able to move forward, and from him will come Mashiach. Because he doesn't give up. He never gives up. Mashiach comes from this. And not only that, guys, L'chein ha-remez kol Hashem b'Yehuda v'oz dal l'horos ki afilu k'shu dal Hashem ima. Listen to this, what's Yehuda? He says that that's Hashem's name with the Dalet. Yehuda Zirke Vavke with the Dalet. What's the significance of that? It says because Dalet represents Dal, when you're low. It says even, what Yehuda tells us, even when you're low, you're Dal, you're knocked down, you still have Yirke Vavke, you still have Hashem's name.
And Jews are called Yehudim. We are called Yehudis. Because that's our koach. Our koach is that even when we're not dying, even when we're not feeling it, even when we feel like this is not Admas Kodesh, this is Admas Kodesh. The ability to stand up and to say, I can do it no matter what. I can do it even when things are bad. And sometimes I need to fake it. And sometimes I just need to go with the flow because I'm not feeling it. And I want to share with you, maybe this is probably, to me, was the most powerful makor that I bring you tonight, except for Milech Kohn at the end. In Source 14. Listen to this. This is brought down a Lekker HaMoir, Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter. He talks about the Rebbe, the Berditcher Barav, the Kedushas Levi. The Kedushas Levi, listen to the unbelievable idea that was brought down for Rabbi Nachman about the Kedushas Levi. V'yadua Sharav HaKadosh B'Berditcher, it is known that the Kedushas Levi, he said, Derech Avodasov Hilavus Nora. He had tremendous Hilavut. He was like on fire. When he learned Torah, when he davened, the room shook. He was on fire. La'olav tukad v'lo tichbeh. He was known as a fire that was never extinguished. Constantly on fire. V'kemosh am Rabbeinu, like Rabbi Nachman said, Rabbi Nassan, k'sharab v'radichav motiv pim ha'borei, that when he said Hashem's name, the Berditcher would say Hashem's name, Natzi nitze esh me'anam. Sparks were flying out of his eyes. Okay, listen to this imagery. Sparks are flying out of his eyes. V'yadua shemarnatzipar, we know that Rabbi Nassim would teach us, shepam achas rav, arav ha-kodesh v'yardichav, that one time Rabbi Nassim saw the Kedushas Levi, when he was saying the words, ha-bocher v'amo yisrael v'ava, right before he said Shema, when he said those words, listen to this, lipnei kriya Shema, those words, shekim'ah gava v'rov tevekas, he would almost die from the amount of tevekas that he was accomplishing in that moment. Okay, that's what he says. Barabo Simone Gazisi Burin. You saw signs of death approaching him. Okay, just to give you an idea of what the Kedushas Levi's regular Ava Rava looked like during the week. Okay, that's the Kedushas Levi. But listen to this. Listen to this, guys. Im Kolzad, nevertheless, Muva Bakdama Sefer Notzer Chemed is brought down in the Sefer Notzer Chemed. Shibin Meshach Shana Umechza Nafal Haram Medishav Mikol Gidlabuso. There was a year and a half where the Kedushas Levi lost all feeling. Listen to this, the Kedushas Levi we're talking about right now. The Kedushas Levi lost all of his ratzon, his lavut, that fire, that desire. He wasn't feeling it. It went away. It disappeared. Now listen to what it says. Va'af al pikein, and nevertheless, even though he was feeling down in the dumps, he spalal betmimos. He would still say every day, even though he wasn't feeling it. But you know what he did? He didn't have this tremendous daven. No, he didn't. He opened up a sitter and he continued to just daven word for word, like a pasha yid. He wasn't feeling it. But he didn't stop going. He said, okay, now I'm not feeling it, but I can't stop. It'll come back. I'll keep on working on it. And it says, after a year and a half, it returned to him. Remember, in those moments where we feel down in the dumps, where we don't feel kadosh and we don't see Admas Kodesh, we forgot what Admas Kodesh is. Remember, that's what it means to be a Jew. It means to get up like a lion. It means crouch like a lion. It doesn't mean you're going to get up right away. It means even when you're down, you're still searching for Hashem Baruch Hu. You're still growing. You can be on a pasha level, nothing fancy. Don't do anything fancy. Pasha. Say all the words in davening. The Kedushas Levi, and that was good for the Kedushas Levi, guys, that he said each word davening, just said the words, that you guys, we could all do that. Okay? We could all do that. But how can we overcome those moments of darkness? How can we overcome those moments of confusion? How can we overcome this message of people telling us this is not Amas Kodesh and we want to be Amas Kodesh? And there's one major yisod, and it's found in, was it last week's parsha, two parshas ago, last week's parsha, I believe. If you look at Source 16, the famous question by the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav said the following thing. Well, the Pasuk says the following thing. We wrote it to Habadi and Bekir, but we know that Rivka had twins, Yaakov and Esau. And it says that we wrote it to. They were like fighting. Another lashon that we wrote to is they were running. What were they running to? What does Rashi tell us? Wrote it to What's the famous medrash? When Rivka walked by Beis Avodah Zarah, who was wanting to get out? Esav. Okay, very nice. And when they walked by Shiva Shem Ever, who was trying to get out? Yaakov. Ask the Brisker Rav, amazing Shiloh. Amazing Shiloh. Why does Yaakov want to get out? Why does he want to get out? Guys, why does he want to get out? Well, Torah. Ask the Brisker Rav, what's Yaakov running? Why is he so excited to get out? What's he doing in Rivka's stomach? The Gemara Nida tells us there's a malach sitting on top of a fetus right now. My wife has in her stomach, and this is like an amazing thing. It says for my classes that those of you who are around when my other kid was, when my wife was pregnant, like my wife has like a malach in her stomach right now. Like it's pretty sick. Like which is like I always think I should always stand up for my wife. But like I said, like she has like a neshama, like she has an extra neshama inside of her, and like a malach, like did you call it a kula, like. It's pretty sick, no? Okay, I think it's sick. So, but that's going on. Yaakov Avinu is learning from the Malach. He has a Malach teaching Kol HaTorah Kula. Where is he running to? Why is he so excited to get out? Good question. And the Brisker Rav says an amazing result. You want to know why? Yaakov had the best Rebbe in the world. Yaakov was learning Kol HaTorah Kula. You know who was right next to Yaakov? Esav. Says the Brisker Rav, you kept the best Rebbe, you kept the best Torah. Everything can be amazing. But if Esau's next to you, if the people you surround yourself are people who don't recognize Hashem, who are not seeking Kedusha, who are not saying Ad Mas Kodeshu, then it doesn't matter. You can have the greatest Master Shmuzes, you can have the greatest inspiration, you can have the greatest foundation in the world. Question, who do you surround yourself with? Says the Brisker Rav, your chaverim, your friends, those are the people who make sure that the Torah becomes real and everlasting. We're talking about tonight about Armas Kodesh. We give a lot of suggestions, Shabbos, of changing our perspective, our outlook, of realizing that we can do it even when we're feeling knocked down. But however, you can't do it by yourself. It's very hard to do it by yourself. And even if you're succeeding by yourself, you're not maximizing. Because the way that you maximize, the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this world is through other people. It's through Chaverim. I think tonight is a night to read, if you're looking around this room, again, I said for me to be here in this room tonight. With the girls who are thirsty for God, you guys are thirsty for God. You know, that you're Kadosh, you know this concept of Admas Kodesh. Imagine how much stronger we'll be when we stick together. It's not easy. Everybody's busy, everybody has a schedule, everybody's doing their own thing. But the importance of Chaverim, without Chaverim, it's so hard to succeed. And I think we have to ask ourselves, who are our Chaverim? And how do we get our Chaverim together to continue to grow? I've suggested this in the past, no one ever listens to me. I'll say it again, maybe someone will listen to me. What about like once a week? Okay? Once a week. I'm not talking about for like an hour, I'm talking about maybe like 10, 15 minutes.